We have with us Dr. Chris Connolly, Assistant Professor of Kinesiology and Director of the Exercise Physiology and Performance Laboratory, faculty member within Prevention Sciences Graduate Program on the Pullman campus. Dr. Connolly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The Cougar Employee Wellness Program came to fruition in large part due to your and Dr. Hildebrand's efforts. Can you tell us what went into this program?
Yeah, well, originally when Dr. Hildebrand and I sat down and began talking about resources for employees here on campus, we came to the very, very quick conclusion that we need more here on campus to help our employees be more healthy and more fit. In general, in an academic setting, where there is wellness, where there is health, there is higher academic productivity. Obviously, there's going to be a higher quality of life. And what we noticed here is there's a nice health-based focus here on campus towards students, but there really are very few initiatives geared toward employees. And we felt, obviously, since employees really are who make this place tick, we realized that more needs to be done. And having been at a number of different universities and having colleagues at different universities, there's a stark contrast, because at other universities there are, not at all, but at some other universities, there are really incredible faculty wellness resources. I mean, truly state-of-the-art, very large and well-funded programs that are well-developed and have input from a number of different personnel, and here we have very, very little. And in talking about this with Dr. Hildebrand, we decided to put forth a proposal to the provost's office. We met with the provost's office and with certain higher administration, and they were very, very receptive. We weren't sure what kind of reception we were going to get, but they were incredibly receptive and told us essentially that more does need to be done for employees. And they put their faith in us and funded this program. And now here we are, ready to go, and we're off to a fast start. We have a number of excellent clients, and we're hoping to recruit more every single day, because we honestly believe that when you can improve your overall health and fitness and wellness, that's going to translate into higher levels of satisfaction and motivation, and ultimately academic productivity.
This really sounds amazing. What are some of the long-term goals associated with this program?
That's a great question, and it's sort of hard to answer. At some universities, to be honest, faculty wellness programs are monsters in a good way. They're huge, and there are multiple departments that have their hand in this. In some cases, it's connected with clinics in the community, and potentially even hospitals and certain physicians throughout the community. In some places, it's insurance incentivized, so these programs can grow into something that is really a focal point at a university. We're obviously not there yet. We're starting small, and we hope to grow, and we believe we will grow. But as we gain more clients, and we can demonstrate to the university that this is providing a valuable service to people, and it's translating into real productivity for them and higher levels of quality of life, we hope to be able to add a number of other services, including dietary counseling, therapeutic massage. There's a whole host of things we could add on. But for now, we're trying to build our clientele, and we've been very, very successful in the first 2 months since we've been open. And we see no signs of that slowing down. But I think the long-term goal is that this can be a real focal point of the Pullman campus. So much is made of the Spokane campus at WCU being the health campus, and it's really phenomenal. But we would like Pullman also to be known as a health-based campus, one where there are multiple physical activity initiatives and where employees here have a means by which, and a practical means by which, they can improve their wellness.
So employees here have access to the exercise testing down here. It's a pivotal component of our services. But what tests do we have? Can you describe them?
Sure. That's a great question, actually. You have to know what you're doing. The first thing that we do when a client comes in, and this is incredibly important, is we sit down with them and we get to know them. We have to understand what their goals are, what their exercise barriers are, because it really doesn't matter what we prescribe to them or how we test them if what we give them ultimately isn't going to be beneficial. If we haven't taken into consideration their personal circumstance, their personal situation, there's no way the services we provide will actually help them improve themselves, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to have to, you know, put in the time to work out or to do this or to avoid injury. It's going to be, we can't monitor people 24/7. So we have to give them something that fits within their situation, their circumstance. So when they come in, the first thing we get to do is to know them. We get to know them, and we find out what their goals are, and we help them modify those goals to be more realistic. And then we begin our assessment phase. And so some of those exercise tests include graded exercise testing, such as submaximal or even maximal VO2 testing to allow us to determine what a person's aerobic capacity is. We have anaerobic tests to determine one's anaerobic power. Muscular strength, muscular endurance, flexibility, all of these can be tested and are tested. And perhaps most common would be various tests to determine what a person's body composition is. We sort of live in a society where body composition is, it's considered to be valuable. It's oftentimes attached to how a person perceives themselves, which we can argue or discuss whether that's a good thing or not. But the fact of the matter is our society has a bit of a fixation on body composition, what with obesity trends rising and such. And so we have some of the state-of-the-art methods to assess body composition. And then obviously we sit down with the person and we give them a prescription, an exercise prescription. We're not doctors, but we can give them exercise recommendations, physical activity suggestions, to enable them sort of get on this path where they can improve themselves, work towards their goal. We don't just give them a prescription and then let them go. We provide them with social support mechanisms and really aim to help people maintain what we give them. And we also solicit feedback from them so we can alter it accordingly. We really want this to be a personalized service when a person comes in. And we recognize that everyone is different and has a different situation. And therefore, we take the time to really focus on the person and their whatever their given situation is.
In closing, what advice would you give someone who is not sure where to start in regards to exercise or physical activity?
Well, they can come and join our program. That's a start. Sometimes the hardest part about behavior change is knowing what to do. And that's sort of why we exist. By no means are we perfect here, but we have a team of certified personnel who really know their stuff and can help an individual design a plan and a program to get back to where they would like to be and where they physically need to be. And when we say that, we're not necessarily, you know, I think some people assume they're going to come in here and, you know, do very, very intense squats and CrossFit and all that. That's not where people typically begin when they're trying to begin a physical activity program. It's more of a life change and how they do things. Parking a little bit farther away, choosing to take the stairs, going on a 20-minute walk every night. These are things that the people can do to begin. But when you're truly asking yourself, what's the best physical activity to do? Well, the best physical activity to do is anything. That sounds so broad, but it's what people are going to be able to maintain. As maybe a final concluding thought and example, if you go into any fitness facility or gym on January 1st, it's completely crowded, and people have goals and aspirations, sometimes very, very intense physical activity regimens. And then if you go back to that same facility about a month later, February 1st, the atmosphere is drastically different. there are so many less people there because whatever they began, they were not able to maintain. So if what you're able to maintain is walking, then walk and walk more. If you enjoy swimming, then swim. That's great. And then you can modify from there. But a lot of times, establishing the habit is most important. And to establish a habit, it's got to be something that you enjoy and fits within your circumstance. And oftentimes that's not, Olympic grade, you know, deadlifts and snatches. It's typically walking or swimming or getting on the cycle or choosing to take the stairs every day as opposed to taking the elevator and decisions like that. And once you're able to establish some of those habits, which some would consider to be very, very basic, then it comes more easy to slowly progress to things that are a bit more intense, and maybe even a physical activity regimen that involves some of these things that people think they should be doing from the get-go.
I think that covers it for today. Dr. Connolly, thank you so much for joining us. We would love to have you back to our podcast sometime.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.